Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the OnePlus 6. And the OnePlus 6 is the latest smartphone from the Chinese manufacturer by the name of OnePlus, which is owned by a company called BBK Electronics, also the owner of Oppo and Vivo. So in the previous episode, we spoke about the Realme 1, which is an Oppo phone. This episode is about another phone, which is on the other end of the price spectrum. That's the OnePlus 6. So OnePlus 6 aims to take on the likes of the iPhone 10 and the iPhone 8 and the Google Pixel 2 and the Samsung S9. And its USP, according to the company at least, is that it offers almost all of the features of a flagship at a much lower price. So are all of those claims true? We will find out pretty soon because we have reviews editor Jamshed Awari here.
Heyo.
And games editor Rishi Alwani is also here.
Greetings.
So Jamshed is reviewing the phone for Gadgets 360 and Rishi is doing the gaming review of the phone. So we have two people who've used OnePlus 6 extensively over the past 10 days or so. So I think there's no one better qualified than these two to talk about this phone, at least not in India. So first things first, let's start with the OnePlus 6's price and variants. Jamshed, do you want to talk about this?
Oh yeah, I mean, we've got quite an interesting thing in that the OnePlus 6 is not significantly more expensive than the OnePlus 5T. This is the company that has raised prices significantly over the years. The OnePlus 1 came in at a shockingly low price. But then I think you have to see that, you know, the average price of the average flagship from the big brands has also risen dramatically since then. So we're still at the same relative level. We've got three options in terms of the mainstream models that you have. There's the Midnight Black, the Mirror Black, and the Silk White, all of which are glass backs, but they don't really feel like glass. You have to actually touch these to understand the difference between them. It's an interesting turn of events because this is a company that really relies on online sales to a massive extent. And this is something that they really even want you to touch and feel. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, like you'll see somebody else who has it out in the wild, or the company is trying to expand its experience stores and do pop-up events and, you know, that kind of thing. So that's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, and as for the price, it's what, 34,999?
Yep, 34.
And 39,999, right?
Yeah, 34,999.
Yeah.
But to break it down for you, those three color variants Jamshed talked about is essentially jet black, matte black, and standard.
There is a very strong similarity, yeah. And the company does not like that really being pointed out.
Oh yeah, but then hey, guess what? The company shouldn't just be ripping off Apple year on year, right? I mean, we saw a OnePlus 5 as well. I don't know, the dual camera setup seemed mighty familiar to a certain iPhone 7 Plus back in the day. So
you might not feel that way if you walk into an experience store and see all the white and the wood and, you know, attend a community event that's being put on there.
Yeah, the reality distortion field seems to be strong for OnePlus, it seems. But I mean, let's be honest here. The color options are dead ringers for what Apple usually has. So let's just be very clear with that.
We should be talking a bit about the phone's build quality since mentioned the various finishes and all and how it looks. Now, just to remind those who don't know what a notch is. Notch is essentially like you have something at the front of the screen. At the right at the top, there's this tiny bar where like there is no screen. And on both sides of that, there is a screen. So in between, there's an earpiece and a front facing camera and a couple of other things. And on the left of that and on the right of that, there's like this all screen thing and just this one tiny bit which gets in the way. So that is your notch. So the OnePlus 6 has that notch.
And now to add to what Pranay said, from a functional standpoint, it exists on the iPhone 10 because the iPhone 10's notch hosts a mini version of the Kinect, which basically scans your entire face and works with face lock. So there's a functional reason for it to exist. It's not done just because it's a cool thing to do.
But over here, yes, the OnePlus 6 does have a slightly prominent chin, and that's still relative. It's much, much less than, you know, the outgoing 5T and many other models. But it's just because it's relatively thicker than the sides that you actually see it. Now, the notch, as you said, rightly, it exists because you still need a earpiece, you need a front-facing camera, and other attempts to, you know, move it around have just resulted in things like you getting a really bad angle from the camera. And OnePlus is also very clear that it has not dispensed with the notification LED that a lot of other manufacturers have, because they do have a very vocal fan community and a very active forum. So a lot of people have expressed that that would be, well, not a deal breaker, but that would be a major regret. So what you've really done is taken everything that would lie above the screen and sort of just shove it into the center and extend the screen around it all the way to the top. So in a sense, you do get a little more than you would otherwise. And the one thing that all the Android manufacturers are doing that Apple has not done, has actively refused to do, is allow you to mask the notch by simply blacking out the areas on either side. Now, you can still use those areas for things like system notifications and to have a persistent status bar and the clock. So in a sense, you kind of get the best of both worlds. And this is an AMOLED screen, so your blacks can get really black. And it, to a very large extent, you can completely live with it without really even knowing it's there. It won't get in the way. And you won't. Android manufacturers are not being forced to develop apps that respect the notch, that have to wrap around it.
Okay, so there are a few issues though. And this is something to keep in mind. At the end of the day, while Apple has a notch, the rest of the phone operates on a gesture-based UI, which actually is quite fluid and works too well. Now, most Android phones, such as the Huawei P20 and some of the other variants like Vivo.
Yeah, the P20 Pro in particular. P20 Pro
in particular. They don't have a gesture-based system yet. The OnePlus 6 does.
Yeah.
And that being said, it's not the most intuitive. It feels a bit hacked on. When you compare it to native Android P support on gestures, or when you even compare it to iOS. Now, fine, I get it that that you have the option in the Android ecosystem to mask the notch.
Hmm.
Great, more power to you. But at the end of the day, if you even look at what Android P is doing, Android P is giving developers the option to code keeping the notch in mind. And at the same time, when you have the ability to use it as an always-on display, which is something I think the LG G7, if I'm not mistaken, does as well.
LG has actually done this for a while.
Yeah,
going back
exactly.
to
and,
you know, a couple of years ago with the V10 and the
exactly.
V20
and
the
X really,
screen.
In a way, that kind of functionality, I do see, yes, that there's an audience for it. But then when you actually look at it from a very... when you look at piecemeal, it seems like a good idea, but you look at the entire device as a whole, fine, you have a notch, yeah, you can turn it off. But then the gesture side of it on the OnePlus 6, particularly when it comes to checking what apps are open, isn't exactly where it could be. And especially when you're using something like Instagram and you want to exit Instagram, it's a lot more tougher than it should be. So I feel that's something that needs to be kept in mind. And even when you're saying that, you know, you don't have to make apps for the notch, I do agree, that's a thing. But at the same time, when you're playing a game like PUBG, because it's, well, not optimized for notches, you have bits of the corners being cropped out, which shouldn't
no,
be.
No, so then you have options to override that, and then you sort of get the best of both worlds. So what I'm saying is, app developers are not being forced to respect it. And with Android now, the hardware and the software is not in sync. With Android P supporting notches and supporting gestures, we're sort of seeing the software catch up to the hardware because the manufacturers have just gone ahead and done their own things. So even in the case of OnePlus, those gestures, they might take a little while to get used to. But frankly, I found the Android P gestures kind of confusing as well. Especially in where to pause while swiping up and how long to hold and how long. It just seemed like an extra little bit of friction. But it will be interesting to see how OnePlus deals with this once Android P is released. Whether Oxygen OS will continue to have its own gestures that override the native Android P ones, or they'll, you know, drop all the work that they've done on their own in order to support a wider standard.
And actually, that's a very interesting point, because Oxygen OS as itself this time around has been built by OnePlus as a burdenless OS, an OS that doesn't get in the way. Which in shorthand, it just seems that, hey, remember the good old days of the Nexus? Yeah, we're bringing that back.
Can you talk a bit about the performance of this phone? And then, Rishi, maybe you can talk about like what you experienced while playing games on this phone.
Now, this is the first phone shipping in India and probably in many parts of the world with the Qualcomm Snapdragon 845, which is this year's new hot, brilliant, flagship, absolute top of the line processor.
Yeah, so just to add a bit, the S9, Samsung Galaxy S9 has the Exynos processor in India, which not the Qualcomm
Snapdragon. Not the Qualcomm option, but it's very much at the same level. And Huawei also has its in-house Kirin processor, which is at the same level. But this is the first of many phones that we will see with the Snapdragon 845. We're expecting the Zenfone 5Z to come soon, maybe something from LG. Everyone basically who can't do their own processor will be using the Snapdragon 845 for their absolute top end. There's not a lot of cases when you will notice a significant difference between the 845 and, say, last year's 835, or even a mid-range 600 series like the 660 that you have. There are very few apps, very few situations that will absolutely push it to its limit in a sustained fashion. You know, there's something to be said about being able to burst and get a little bit of performance to do something like, you know, open an app. But there's something entirely different when it comes to very heavy 3D games, content creation, recording 4K video at, say, a high frame rate, or, you know, very long slow motion video bursts, doing on the fly transformations to images and videos. We're not seeing very many applications of consumer AR and VR experiences right now. But that's the kind of thing that would work very well if, you know, there is an app that takes advantage of that. Benchmark scores are, you know, absolutely in a class of their own. Well, okay, I won't say in a class of their own, because the S9 Pro and the S9 Plus and the Huawei P20 Pro are roughly there within the same class. But this is much, much higher than what we've seen from last year. So clearly there is that, you know, that juice in the tank. But in terms of what you can actually use it for, I think Rishi will have the best examples.
Yeah, I mean, while I do agree completely with what Jamshed said in terms of it's going to be tough for most users to see a perceptible difference between the top of the line 845 and a mid-range 6 series. And that's something we've had some good experience with when we checked out the Nokia 7 Plus, which uses a Snapdragon 660. When I compare the PUBG performance on that versus PUBG Mobile on the OnePlus 6, it's a night and day difference. And it's not a reason being. For one, we got a much better performance in terms of netcode. And that had to do with the fact that the phone ships with a feature in game mode called Network Boost. What it does is, if you add a game to game mode and you enable game mode, it will prioritize all the bandwidth available and all the internet speed available on your device to your gaming app that's open right then. So we had PUBG open, and I usually sit in the same spot in the office to test most of the games. And this time it was like full green, like 8190 MS ping, which is not bad at all. When I was playing on the Nokia 7 Plus, it was redlining most of the time, 200-250 ping. Not that it wasn't playable on the Nokia 7 Plus, it just felt a little smoother on the OnePlus 6. That aside, in terms of visuals, that's where the biggest difference is. I was able to max out the game on pushing all the settings to high ultra. The Ultra HD setting isn't available in PUBG just yet at the time of recording this podcast. So the highest setting options were choosable, highest frame rate options were choosable, and it looked really good. And if you ask me, as much as I hate to say it, this is probably the best looking version of PUBG on any platform. That even includes PC and it includes Xbox One X. So it looks really good. It plays really well. And this is despite the phone having a resolution that's, in my opinion, kind of kneecapped. But it still looks really good. And in terms of the actual experience, this is where I think the extended aspect ratio and screen size comes into play as well. Because you have so much screen space to play with that you don't actually feel encumbered by the touchscreen controls of the game, which is really nice. You actually get a proper field of view. You don't have too much of a problem. And it actually makes for a pretty good experience if you're the sort who plays PUBG regularly. That aside, we also checked out Arena of Valor. Arena of Valor is basically Dota 2 or League of Legends. And it has a very interesting mode deep within its settings called high refresh rate, where you can, which basically taxes super high-end processors. However, that mode is also accessible on the Nokia 7 Plus with the 660 Snapdragon. And while it worked there and got us between, I think, the game also has a frame rate counter, by the way, which is why I can give you frame rate numbers. That game, I think we were getting around 55 to around 58 FPS in that range, but the phone would heat up a lot. Here it seems that thermal management seems to be a lot better. We got mildly warm even while playing out in the outdoors. So yeah, I mean, there are some gains to be had if you're the sort who's, you know, pretty hardcore on your gaming on the go. There is a lot of value to be had, particularly in titles like Arena of Valor, PUBG. Asphalt 8, for example, notorious. Asphalt 8, I think the only reason we feature Asphalt 8 is because of the crazy amount of god rays and weather effects that game has. And God bless the developers for putting all that. And while last year's phone had a few issues in the Tokyo level, which has a liberal amount of rain, and even the Iceland level, which has crazy amount of god rays and snow effects, just basically beasted through it. There's no problem whatsoever in that game as well. So I think, yes, from a pure performance aspect, it's right up there. But like we said, it's also not the only one right up there. We saw similar gains on the S9 as well. Now, for those of you who are wondering why we haven't talked about GTA San Andreas, well, as much as I hate to say it, yes, I tried it and it crashed the first time. I tried it a second time. I got like 10 minutes in, but then I noticed that the protagonist's shirt was every color but white, which it's not supposed to be. And there are a lot of other visual issues. And this has to do with the fact that Rockstar Games, you know, is too busy making that game we've all heard of called Red Dead Redemption 2 instead of bothering with its mobile back catalog. So the APIs.
I thought you'd say GTA Online.
That too. So there isn't that. So the APIs haven't. It's not running on the latest API. It's not running on the latest tech. So San Andreas. I mean, I know a lot of you people still play it. Well, yeah, your mileage may vary. But yeah, in terms of pure performance, it is good. It is really good. But it's not going to be the only one. And I did manage to spend some time taking photos outdoors as well and indoors with, you know, coffee and pizza and stuff, which may be somewhere on Instagram. And the performance is pretty good. At least in natural light situations, it seemed really good. I haven't tried it in low light. At least everything in normal light situations worked out well. Portrait mode was a bit of a hit and miss, but I still like the fact that it's easier to use versus the iPhone. I don't have to be a certain distance away. So it's a lot more usable. To me, it's quite similar to how it's usable on the Pixel. But the Pixel takes better photos, in my opinion. But as it stands, if you're gaming on the go, this is as good as it gets right now.
Yeah. And another thing is that OnePlus is pretty vocal about optimizations in Oxygen OS. Things like using all that RAM that you have to, you know, accelerate the launching and the loading between levels and things like that. A lot of optimizations, a lot of opportunistic preloading of things that might be needed. So,
And just a disclaimer, this was tested on the 8GB RAM, 128GB storage variant, not the 6GB, 64GB variant.
Yes, yes. Thank you for noting that.
So the camera.
The cameras. From what we can see so far, there's a lot to be had in low light from these cameras. Now, the main improvements that OnePlus has talked about are that the primary sensor is physically 19% larger in terms of area, which allows for more light to be captured, which allows for more stability because you don't have to have your shutter open as long, so you can get crisper shots. And it plays into also obviously the level of detail that you can capture and the way that you can push the settings or that the phone can automatically push its own settings, you know, the ranges within which you can work. So in terms of photo quality, I don't think people are going to be disappointed. I think that it's close to what you can get with today's best performers. It might not offer as much versatility in terms of what you can do with phones that use dual camera setups that have different lenses completely, like a wide or a telephoto, and OnePlus doesn't do that. OnePlus optimizes for low light with its secondary sensor. So you might not have all the versatility that you can have with some other phones, but in situations that work to this advantage, which I would say is most everyday situations, you can expect some very, very, very impressive results. And I would encourage everybody to check out our review at gadgets360.com, where we have full photo samples that you can click on to see full size, the original files that we always upload, no editing, no transformation, no compression applied whatsoever. These are the exact files lifted from the phone and uploaded to our website when we do these reviews.
This is the first time since the 5 and 5T that we're seeing the return of stabilization in some form that wasn't there in the 5 and 5T.
We do have optical image stabilization on the primary sensor, mm-hmm. as well as electronic only on the primary sensor. That is to be noted. So there's that. And in terms of video, you can now get up to 4K at 60 FPS. Interestingly, 4K video at 30 FPS you can capture for 10 minutes at a time. 4K at 60 FPS you can only capture 5 minutes at a time. Mm. But it is very, very smooth. It is visibly smooth, even on the phone's own screen.
So when you were checking out 4K 60 and 4K 30, did the phone heat up?
Not so much. Mm. Not so much as you would expect.
Yeah, because that's something the 3 had a problem with. With the 3, if you're shooting at 4K, it would pretty much turn into toast. So it's good to know that at least they've improved thermals there as well.
Yeah, and one more thing I wanted to know, which is like, how has the battery life been for you, Jamshed?
Battery life has been very impressive. We've absolutely been able to get through a full day. We've had a fair bit of power left over at the end of the day, maybe up to 20% on some days. And that includes a lot of games, a lot of use of the camera for stills as well as video in multiple conditions, using pretty much everything that the camera app has for us. We have streamed a bit of video, streamed a bit of audio, browsed around the web a lot, and that includes a lot of rich content. Just done all the basics that you would do on a phone without worrying at all about the battery, and gotten through a full day.
Okay, so now there's one question which has always been on my mind. So recently, a friend, he sent me a message and he was asking me whether he should buy the OnePlus 6. And his exact question was this: why not buy this phone for 35,000, which, you know, gives me like almost 90% of the features that you get in phones that cost 70,000, 80,000. So what would you tell this person? Like, what exactly is he missing out on? And what does he gain by buying this phone?
Well, I mean, that's actually a very good way of breaking down a design decision, a buying decision. And I mean, honestly, we've, as Jamshed said earlier in the show, why buy this when you can buy a Redmi or an Asus or a Realme, which will do 70% of the work at a fraction of the cost? And that's something I agree with completely. We've reached a point in the tech cycle where you really don't need a flagship. You can get by just fine with mid-range Android because it's become that good.
Oh yeah,
and it just depends on your use case. If you're the sort who plays games heavily, if you're the sort who creates content on the go, if you're the sort who takes a lot of photos, who does a lot of stuff on a regular basis that could be considered as professional level work. You know, like a content creator or YouTube streamer or someone who basically takes a lot of high resolution photos. Yeah, I mean, then this is something you could consider. But if you're just going to be the normal user, someone who you know, probably you for most of your photos show up on Instagram, where you're the sort who probably dips into a game of Pokemon Go once in a while and backs off and just uses the regular stuff like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, you'll actually find better value with a lower cost device. That's how I would say it. I see it. I mean, let's be honest here. The marketing around this phone and around every OnePlus device has been superlative, in the sense that it's good at turning people into fans.
Yeah.
But it's not a mandatory. I don't think it's something you should dive into, because if your use case isn't the sort who's, you know, out and about on a daily basis recording at 4K, or out and about on a daily basis and you want to play PUBG at the max, if you're not the sort who fits that bill, you shouldn't be bothering. I think you can get by just fine.
Yeah, so since you mentioned the 4K recording bit, Jamshed, I believe earlier you mentioned there's some like time limits to 4K recording, right?
Yeah, 10 and 5 minutes.
Yeah, if you're thinking of like using this phone as your primary device for like shooting video and all, the time limit for recording may get in your way. So keep that in mind. It's not.
And that's something that not a lot of manufacturers really publicize. Hmm. So you're going to want to check
exactly
before you make a decision.
Yeah.
But if you're recording video, are you really recording in 4K all the time? Are
exactly
you really recording 4K 60 FPS?
There you
that's
go.
Very true.
No. And another thing that you don't get with this phone that you do get with other flagships is 960 FPS slow-mo. Is that something that you really want? It can be amusing now and then. it can generate some really interesting effects. You might be somebody who, you know, capitalizes on videos posted to social media and things like that, in which case you could, you know, do something really interesting with that. But it's a kind of thing that we suspect the vast majority of people can happily live without.
Oh, yeah. And here's the other thing to keep in mind. And this is something, well, OnePlus has said in the past, is that we don't know how long the support is going to be for this device. In the past, when we've spoken to them, they've essentially said that, oh yeah, when we're going to support the one, like this is with regards to the OnePlus 3 and 3T. We'll support it as long as possible. We can't commit to it. Hmm. So we don't know how much support this is going to get. The OnePlus 5 had that backlash where I personally know a bunch of people who went day one, picked it up, and were bummed out that support wasn't as good as it could be, and to the point where there was more support for the 3T over the 5, and they decided to wait for the pixels to get a drop and pick up a pixel instead. So that's something we still don't know, what kind of support we're going to get with this.
And but I think based on the fact that we already have an Android P developer preview, that it's pretty much guaranteed that you're going to get Android P.
Yeah, and while you are going to get Android P, again, it's the question is, are you going to get OnePlus's burdenless version of the Android P, or are you going to get stock Google Android P? That's yet something we don't know, because other manufacturers have moved on to the Android One program wholesale. We've seen it with Nokia. We've seen it with, to an extent, even Sony. So, yeah, I mean, your mileage will vary where that is concerned. But then again, coming back to it, the Pranay's question, it just boils down to what your use case is. And where that's concerned, I think you can get by just fine with the phone for much less.
Yeah, definitely. What I would like to call to everyone's attention is that there is this marketing campaign around this phone, which sort of makes it seem like you're getting much more than what you're paying for. That's not entirely true. I would suggest that people don't buy into that. You get what you pay for at the end of the day. Like, every manufacturer, whoever puts out a phone at any given price point, they make certain compromises. And yes, that includes even the highest of the high-priced phones, such as the iPhone 10.
Where's my 3.5mm jack? Oh yeah, this phone has a 3.5mm jack.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really important. We have to bring that up.
Yeah.
I mean, thank you for sticking to that. That's at least one good thing.
Yeah, so everyone makes some compromise or the other. And in OnePlus's case, they've optimized it for things that some of the people who buy these phones, they love it. So, for example, performance. And then, to some extent, the camera is also something that they've focused on. But then there are other things which you miss out on as well. Yeah. So, going forward, we can probably expect another phone from OnePlus, which may or may not be called the OnePlus 6T with some enhancements. So now this company has sort of switched to this 2 phones per year mode, and at the moment, based on whatever they've done in the past 2 years, we are expecting the same. So if you're the kind of person who would like to wait before jumping in on a new generation of phone, then there is always some time. You can always wait for the 60 to come in with a few more improvements and some more polishing before you pick up a phone. But otherwise, if you're going for it right now, at least based on our review, you will be getting a pretty solid phone overall.
Yeah, I mean, your other options include waiting for a price cut on the Pixels or picking up a S9 on
because the OnePlus phones do hold their price quite
well. They do. That's something to keep in mind. It's going to be tough to get it on discount. But that being said, Jamshed, would you recommend someone looking to buy a new phone choose a 5T or a 6?
The 5T is not available anymore.
It's confirmed.
It's not in stock on Amazon.
All right.
You can get a refurb or a used piece, but it's been out of stock for quite a while. All right. They have no intention of continuing it.
Okay.
Which is a pity, really. But
yeah. So the 6 is, right? And the price bumps up slightly. So yeah, if you want a OnePlus phone, you will be spending a little bit more this year, clearly. All right then, I guess that's all we have for this episode of Orbital, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. If you use an Android phone, you can go to the Google app and search for Orbital Podcast Gadgets360 or Transition Podcast Gadgets360 to subscribe to our podcast. And if you're on Apple, then iTunes on your Mac or the Apple Podcast app on your iPhone, you can find us, Orbital Transition. You can subscribe to our podcast. Thank you so much for listening.